Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Calling his daughter a girl lands this father in jail. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is a situation that comes out of Canada. A father now has been sitting in jail since March 25 because he refers to his 15-year-old daughter as a girl. A British Columbian judge first banned the father from speaking about the court hearing, forcing him to call his daughter a boy. The judge has now sentenced the father to 6 more months in prison because he has broken this gag order. And, you know, he's asked by the judge, why do you want to tell people about this case? Why will you not refer to, you know, this person as a boy? And he says, you know, to do that is harmful to her and it's harmful to everyone else. And this is a tragedy that everyone needs to know about.
But here's the real tragedy is that the school system was secretly giving her hormone blockers without his knowledge and against his will. That's parental intrusion right there.
Yeah, I mean, this is
Rob. And then
Rob
put him in prison?
Hoogland and his wife, you know, they didn't know. The mom and dad didn't know.
How can the school do that without his permission?
We've actually had something like that happen in the United States.
Unbelievable.
Where the school referred one of the students to some other kind of outside source to get these medications to block hormones, puberty blockers, and then to get opposite sex hormones without the parents' knowledge, and began to refer to that child as an opposite sex. So, you know, giving the child a different name, whatever that child wanted, referring to that child and requiring other people to refer to that child by an opposite sex pronoun without the parents' knowledge. And this is what happened in Canada. This had been going on for a couple of years, and then it finally came to the attention of mom and dad.
Yeah, in 2020, of February, British Columbian courts ruled that the girl could continue to receive these drugs from the government over her parents' objections.
Yeah.
Where have we come?
I know.
Goodness.
The parents found out about it and they said, hey, wait a minute. We need to stop these drugs. These are harmful. And we're the mom and dad. And that's when this whole court case began. And they now call this abuse, that the parents won't consent to these harmful drugs and won't refer to their daughter as a boy, as a he, as a male. And now they call it family violence. That's the word, quote, family violence. And now that they have classified this as family violence, they are taking control of this young girl's upbringing and requiring, number one, that the parents be quiet, that they don't say anything to the public. Let's just keep all this among ourselves in secret. And you can't do anything to stop these drugs. These drugs will continue to be given to your daughter. Now, this man, Rob Hoogland, says, you know, I can't be silent. This is happening to my daughter. And he says, this is tragic. They don't know what they're doing.
He's
said,
a child.
These kids are going to be handed, this is the father speaking, these kids are going to be handed a life sentence. It's irreversible. They will be sterile. They won't have families. A lot of them will eventually choose to commit suicide because you're compounding their mental health issues with this.
Well, you're not getting to the root cause of whatever she's struggling with. I mean, that's why we represent counselors who help these kids that are struggling with these same-sex attractions or gender confusions to get to the root cause of what's actually causing this behavior. And drugs aren't the answer.
No, it's drugs. And in fact, these kind of drugs, because here, you know, they're going to take these puberty-blocking drugs so that they'll stop the production of estrogen for this girl.
And that's going to cause all other kind of public
all kinds, and that's going to cause
problems.
Sterility, as Rob Hoogland says. And then they're going to give the child opposite sex hormones. So testosterone, taking these different drugs of the opposite sex, which also causes all kinds of problems. And then eventually they're going to amputate healthy body parts, breast and other body parts. And what's happened, which is, you know, what Walt Heyer has found in his book and in his life and his ministry, that sometimes what happens is these people, they just get rushed into these decisions. They think that this is the panacea. They have some confusion for whatever reason about whether they're male or female. And they begin to go down this path and they get all these accolades and support to go down this path. And finally they take these drugs and they amputate body parts. And then they realize, you know what? My mental situation has not changed. In fact, it's worse. And they also oftentimes say, you know what? I'm content with being born a boy. I'm content with being born a girl. And now look what I've done to my body. So they go back to these doctors or counselors that pushed them down this road, and they'll say, you know what? I want to revert. I want to go back. I want to have my pronouns back to where it was. And, you know, the problem is you can't just, like, put body parts back on like Tinker Toys.
I want to be who God created me to be.
They become content with who God created them to be. Right. And then these support systems just cut them off because they think they're traitors. They want to pretend that they don't exist.
And then you see a 40% suicide rate.
Yeah. And so the 40% suicide rate is not those who are struggling with their identity. It's those who have already gone down this road, mm-hmm. and now they realize it was a big mistake.
Right. And the LGBT activists try to twist that around and try to paint the picture that the counseling is what causes a suicide. That's not true.
It's not true. I mean, these counselors are like a GPS. Right. They talk to the client about stresses, whether it's on these same-sex attractions or could be gender confusion, find out what's stressing them. You know, maybe they're taking drugs, maybe they're anxious, they're depressed, whatever it is, they talk about that and they talk through it. And then obviously these people want to overcome these stresses. So in some cases, somebody is struggling with whether they're a boy or a girl, and these counselors just talk with them. And that person says, you know what, I have these feelings that I've, you know, and people are telling me that I can choose my gender and I'm a boy, but they want me to be a girl. I, you know, have these feelings towards girls that are different, but I don't want to be. I want to be content with who God made me to be. And yet what these laws that ban counselors from speaking to this do is they say, no, you have to just be, you have to conform your body to match your confused mind.
That's a difficult time in life anyway, going through adolescence and all that. And sometimes it just happens innocently. I mean, they walk by a TV and they see two people of the same sex kissing or whatever, and it just kind of spawns thoughts in their mind. You know, they're not necessarily want to go there, but they want to know, how do I deal with this? This conflicts with my Christian faith. I need help with that. And then the counselor can help sort that out.
Yeah, and help them reach their ultimate objective.
Right.
And this is why, you know, we are representing counselors and clients around the country litigating against these laws that ban so-called change counsel or talk therapy with regards to clients that we represent, like Dr. Rob Otto as an example. Mm-hmm. But it's also why we are very concerned about the so-called Equality Act, H.R. 5, the House Bill H.R. 5. It's in the Senate. This Equality Act, if it's passed in the Senate, what you see in the situation involving Rob Hoogland in Canada would become commonplace in the United States. In fact, we've already seen it happen here in the United States, where some families are in a very similar situation. And some of those people in the school or in the, you know, Department of Children and Families say, well, the family is committing abuse by not allowing these children to refer to themselves by whatever pronoun they want or get the drugs that they want. If H.R. 5 becomes law, this will become commonplace around the country. H.R. 5 is a dangerous threat to our freedom and to our families. It revokes the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it also makes abortion legal from the moment of conception until the breath outside of the womb of that precious child. And it overrides every state law regarding abortion. Go to Liberty Counsel's website lc.org/HR5 to learn more about this dangerous bill. lc.org/HR5. We are encouraging people to fax the senators because that's where the battle is. Sign the petition. We're going to give it to the appropriate senators to stop this bill. And also call the senators as well. Go to lc.org/HR5. That's lc.org/HR5.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.